We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Yoredeya, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Toiloim, Halacha Dalid, Paragraph Gimel. Rav Nosson Zal says now, V'divrei Rabbeinu Zal Befrat, Bahamais Azois, Hein Beklolius, Ubeprotius, Bekol Habachinois. Rabbeinu Zal's words, when he spoke generally, and especially in this story, he's speaking macro and micro. He's speaking about all of Klal Yisrael, and he's speaking about each and every individual person and each and every individual situation. Ki beklolius, because on a macro level, on a big level, bas melech hu bechinas malchus digdusha, the princess represents the kingdom of holiness, shehu shoyresh kol hanefoshois, shoyresh kol haylomois, which is a composite, in a sense, of all the Jewish souls, of all the worlds. Shekulam nivru b'shvil legalois malchusoi al yedei ha'odom ha'shofol hazeh daiko, whereby all the worlds and all the souls were created to reveal Hashem's kingdom specifically through man, through the lowly human beings. They're the ones who are in the best position to reveal the kingdom of Hashem and to broadcast the kingdom of Hashem, because human beings have free choice, which is something that nothing else in the world has, nothing else in creation has it. For a person, we mentioned this example many times, if a guy walks into a room, there's 100 people there, and he's holding a machine gun, and he says, I'm king, right? And everybody says, right, definitely. We know that it's a lie, it's a joke, he ain't king. Put the machine gun away, we'll see if you're king. The machine gun is king. So kingdom, the attribute of kingdom, malchus, is only when the people accept you. We know there are many cases of dictators who take over a country and he's in charge in it until somebody blows him away, until he gets destroyed. And then they don't just blow him away, they kill him and his wife and kids, they wipe him out totally. So what kind of kingdom was that? That's a joke. It's a fake kingdom. It's a temporary kingdom. Malchus is Ein Melech Beloyam. Real Malchus is when the people accept you, when they want you. That's Malchus. And again, that could only really be when they have a choice and they choose. That's the greatness of the human being over everything in creation. Nothing else in creation, the animals, the angels, everything, nothing else has free choice like a human being does. I mentioned this Bashkocha yesterday. I paid a shiva call. One of our close friends, Shai, his grandmother passed away. And I was speaking there about this item. And I mentioned the very famous Ora Chaim HaKodesh that I had the zchus of hearing years ago in a shir. The Ora Chaim says that Torah tells us about Yosef HaTzadik, who was the greatest one of his brothers, that at one point they got together, these rabbis, these tzadikim, the leaders of the world, the sons of Yaakov Avinu, and they came to conclusion that the most important and right thing to do is to kill him, to murder Yosef HaTzadik. And they were all just about in agreement until Reuven spoke up. It says Reuven spoke up, Vayatzilehu miyodam, and he rescued Yosef HaTzadik. How did he rescue him? He said, why should we dirty our hands? Why should we bloody, kill him? Without? Not necessary. There's a pit over there. Throw him in the pit. Why should we dirty ourselves with him? What was in that pit? It says there was no water in that pit, but there were snakes and scorpions in the pit. So they all said, yeah, great idea. They took him, threw him into the pit. The Gemara says one of the reasons he said that was he hoped that when they would go away, he would rescue him. But the Ora Chaim HaKodesh says, hold on a second. The Torah doesn't lie. What kind of word is that? That's called Hatzalah? That's called rescuing? You take a guy and you throw him into a pit of snakes? That's called rescuing? He says, yes, definitely yes. Yosef HaTzadik was safer and better off with snakes and scorpions than he was with these 10 tzadikim. Because the snakes and scorpions don't have free choice. They can't bite unless Hashem says bite. They can't kill unless Hashem says kill. And a human being has bechira. A human being, Rachmona L'Tzolo Aleinu, has the ability to do something to go against the will of Hashem, against the rotzen of Hashem. This is an unbelievable chiddush. This is an unbelievable thing. But that's why the kingdom of Hashem is dependent on us more than anything else. When a Jew says, I accept Hashem as king, That's the greatest kavod. That's the greatest kiddush Hashem. Then Hashem is melech. Then Hashem is really king. When human beings accept him, when Klal Yisrael accept him. Ulekocho hamelech, and the king, we said the king captured this princess. Ze malchus harishah. That was the kingdom of the Sitrachra, the Klipos. Shenimshach misige malchei kadmon demisu veischarvu venisharu reish peches mitzutzois. Here, Rav Nosson Zal is quoting the Zohar HaKodesh and the writings of the Arizal, which say that we know happens to be this week's parsha. This week's parsha is Parshas Vayishlach, Tov Shin Samach Tes that we're reading, and at the end of Vayishlach, there's like a whole paragraph there where it says it goes through a whole listing of kings that at one point this king ruled and then he died and this king took over. Vayomos Bedad, Vayim Loich Hadad Ben Bedad, and then it says there was Mehetavel, all kinds of funny names there and all kinds of funny kings. The Zohar HaKodesh says that chapter at the end of Parshas Vayishlach is one of the deepest chapters in the entire Torah. It tells the story of creation, of how Hashem's light first started being channeled into the world. And when it talks about those kings that died, when it uses the word die, the Zohar HaKadosh says, whenever something drops a level spiritually, it's called death. It's compared to death. A nefilah of the light is compared to misa. And the Zohar HaKadosh goes on to show how when Hashem first introduced his light into creation, the vessels couldn't contain it and they burst and the light dropped. And it uses this terminology that from the sigim, from the remnants of the original kings that died and were destroyed, there were left 288 sparks of Kedusha, this number 288, which is hinted to in the first Pasuk in Chumash. We mentioned this in the past. Veruach Elohim merachefes al pnei amoyim. The Spirit of Hashem hovered over the water. We said that the word merachefes is two words. The outer letters are mem tov, mace. The inner letters are resh peches, referring to 288 sparks of Kedusha that fell. What is 288? You remember, we mentioned once, that's the words chesed plus gvura. Chesed is 72, gvura is 216. Together, it equals 288. That's one example of this. Another example is toiv and ra. Toiv is 17, ra is 270. Together, it's 287 with the koilo 288. These sparks of Kedusha fell. Umehem yenikas haklipois. And this is from what the Tumah draws its energy from. Bechinas malchus harishah, the kingdom of evil, the Sitra Achra, the Yetzahara, Amalek, Esav, all of these forces of the Sitra Achra, they draw from these sparks of Kedusha that fell. Sheroitzel his gaber kol pam al malchus digdusha, whereby this power, this sitrachra, is trying constantly to defeat and to overcome the malchus of kedusha, likach hamalchus digdusha, to capture the malchus of kedusha, bechinas basmelach, this princess, liatzmoi, to take her for himself, lahalim malchusa yisporach min olam, and to hide the kingdom of Hashem from the world, that people shouldn't know that there's a Hashem. That's the whole work of the Sitrachra, the Yetzirah, trying to block people from realizing that there's a true king, there's a Hashem, there's a Torah, there's mitzvahs and everything. Vehi borcho l'toich hamayim, and the princess ran into the water. Rabbi Nizal tells us there in the story of the seven beggars that the princess ran into the water castle. This is related to what the Torah tells us in the beginning of creation, that the world was full of darkness, all different kinds of darkness. And then it says, "Veruach Elokim rachefes al pnei amoyim," sheze bechinas almin dechoriven. That those terms, toihu, voyu, choishech, correspond to the destroyed worlds. Shemehem his gabrus malchus arishah, from which the malchus of the sitrachra draws its energy. His gabrus huasora mine chitzim, that's where the 10 poisonous arrows draw their energy from. And then the pasuk finishes with the words, veruach elokim merachefes al pnei amoyim. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, Veruach Elohim, do ruchoi shel Moshiach. When it says the words Veruach Elohim, that refers to the spirit of Moshiach, which is the opposite of Malchus the Sitra Achra. That's Malchus the Gdusha, Shehi Malchus Moshiach. She'oz tizgale malchusa yizborach lein koil. Because when Moshiach is going to come, that's when Hashem's kingdom is going to be revealed to everybody. Everybody is going to realize and accept the kingdom of Hashem. Merachefes al pnei amoyim, this ruach of Moshiach hovers over the water, bechinas asora choymois shomayim. The water is symbolic of those 10 walls of water that we spoke about. Shelashom boruch ha-malchus tikdusha, that's where the malchus tikdusha escaped to. Malchus Moshiach. Vezehu merachefes, and this is why the word merachefes is used specifically. Kimi shenechlo venechlash kimat sheigva chas v'shalom. The word merachefes means to flutter, like to flutter, which means like when a person is fluttering between life and death. A person is almost dead and they're hanging on by a thread, like they're hanging on. Just like we said that princess, when she got shot with the 10 arrows, with the 10 different kinds of poisons, she's extremely weak. She's holding on by a thread. And the betler said, and I'm the one who heals her. So here now Rav Nosson Zal says, in the Pasuk in the Torah where it speaks about the beginning of creation, and it uses that word, Veruach Elohim merachefes al pnei amoyim, we said Ruach Elohim refers to the Ruach of Moshiach, the Malchus of Kedusha. Merachefes, the word merachefes means it's fluttering, it's hanging on by threads like, al pnei amoyim. Rak ruchoi merachefes, exactly. Now Rav Nosson Zal continues, umayim ze soid oir ma hechodosh shehu oilam hatikun ki mayim bebechinas ma kefi shoyresh ho'arbo yesoidos. Rav Nosson Zal makes a statement here which in the next two paragraphs he's going to explain and clarify. The statement that he makes is that the word mayim, water, corresponds to Hashem's name Mo, Memhei, which we'll explain soon what that is, and the Zohar HaKadosh refers to it as the new light of Mo, that when Hashem originally created the world and he tried to put his light into vessels and the vessels shattered, they burst, they couldn't contain the light, and there was major destruction, it's brought in the Zohar HaKadosh that the tikkun will be brought about and is being brought about through the light, the new light of Mo. And we're going to come now to explain what that's all about. Based on the Arbo Yesoidos, based on the four basic elements of creation, fire, Eish, Ruach, fire, air, water, and Eish, Mayim, Ruach, or fire, water, wind, air, and dirt, as we'll see soon. And the four combinations of Hashem's name, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain. Pay attention, because this is going to be a foundation. The next two paragraphs are a foundation for some of the most basic concepts that are presented in Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus. Ki yodua bekisvi Harizal, it's known in the writings of the Arizal, sheyesh bechinas tanto, that there is something called tanto, which refers to the four elements of the Torah. The Torah that we have is composed of four pieces, four building blocks, two that are visible, two that are invisible. The two that are visible are the letters of the Torah, and the crowns on top of the letters. Those we see. Those are the two lowest levels. They're visible. They represent Torah Shebenigla, the revealed Torah. Then there's the vowels and the musical notes, which we don't see. Those are not written in the Torah, because they correspond to Nistor, to the hidden part of the Torah. They're a much higher level. So here, Rav Nosson Zal tells us, there is this Tanto, which is the first letters of Ta'amim, musical notes, Nekudot, vowels, Tagin, crowns, and Oisiois, the letters. Vehem, Bechinas, Ov, Sog, Mobon. these four parts of the Torah correspond to four configurations of Hashem's most basic name. Hashem's most basic name is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, right? This name, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, we're told in the Zohar HaKodesh and the Sifrei Kabbalah, can be configured four different ways. When we write each letter as a word, the letter Yud, the way we pronounce it, it's as if it were written Yud, Vav, Dalet, right? The letter Hey can be written three different ways. Hey Yud, Hey Aleph, and Hey Hey. Those are three different configurations of the Hey. Vav can be written three different ways. Vav Vav, just Vav Vav, with a comment under the first one, that's Vav. Or Vav Aleph Vav, or Vav Yud Vav. Those are the three configurations of the Vav. And then you have the Hey at the end, which we said before has three configurations. So the Zohar HaKodesh tells us that there are four different gematrias of Hashem's name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei when you fill it out. One of them is Ayin Beis, as you see here, 72, which is when you would spell Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, Yud-Vav-Dalet, which is 20, Hey Yud, which is 15, gives you 35. Vav Yud Vav, which is 22. 35 and 22 is 57. And then again, the Hey at the end, Hey Yud, 15. 57 and 15, I made some kind of adding mistake. 55 and 15, no, what was it? 57 and 15 is 72. I'm sorry, exactly, we got it right. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so that's the configuration that's called Ayin Beis. Samach Gimel is the same thing. Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, but this time the Vav is simply Vav Vav. We take out a Yud. I'm sorry, no, it's Vav Aleph Vav. So we're instead of a Yud, we're replacing with an Aleph, which means we're taking away 9. 72 take away 9 gives you 63. The third configuration, Mo, that's Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Aleph. If you add it up, it equals 45. And Bon is Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Hey, gives you 20, 35, and another Hey Hey is 45, and 7, something's not right. No, not 7. We said Yud Vav Dalet is 20. The two Hays are 10 and 10 is 40. So we need 12, exactly. Vav Vav. Vav Vav is the 12. That's the configuration of Bon. These are four configurations of Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which correspond. Rav Nosson Zal is showing us here that these all line up. Ta'amim Nekudot Tagenoisius, 1, 2, 3, 4. Ov Sog Mo Bon is 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you have the four worlds, which are Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, the four basic worlds. Umisham nishtalshelu ho arba yesoidos. From these spiritual levels that we just mentioned, come forth the four basic elements of creation, which are Eish, fire, Ruach, air, Mayim, water, and Ofor, dirt. That's the order, that's the right order. Shehem Bechinas, which also correspond to Doimem, Tsoimeach, Chai, Medaber. Doimem is inanimate objects, Tsoimeach is plants, the plant kingdom, Chai is the animal kingdom, and Medaber is human beings. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Ve'ikar Hashviro Hoiso Bebechinas Bon. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that when those vessels shattered, when Hashem first created the world, and he tried to put his light into certain kelim, and they couldn't hold the light, they shattered, the main breakage took place in Bon. Bon is the fourth one of the configurations, right? We had Ov, Sog, Mo, Bon. Bon is the bottom one, the last one, number four. V'hatikun, the rectification, Hoyo al yedei ma, oir hachodosh. The tikkun was through the one in front of Bon, which is ma, and it's called a new light. A new light that Hashem shone through ma. Nimtza, We see from this, Shehashviro hoiso bebechinas ofor, shehu bechinas asiya. Remember, in the four basic elements, we said eish ruach mayim ofor, number four was ofor. So ofor corresponds to bon. So if we said that the main breakage was in bon, it means the main breakage was related to ofor. Sheshom, which corresponds to asiya, this physical world that we live in, sheshom ikar achizas haklipois, which is the place where the forces of tuma have the strongest contact, because it's the lowest level, because the olam haasiya is the lowest of the four worlds, because within the four elements, ofor is the lowest one. The sitra achra, which is on bottom, starts from the bottom and works its way up. So its hold is on ofor, on asiya. Bechinas, as the pasuk says in the beginning of Bereshis, v'nochosh ofor lachmoy. The snake lives on ofor, lives on dirt, eats dirt. So the nochosh, the sitra achra, the malchus rishon, is associated with ofor. V'hatikun, and the rectification, the correction, hoyo alidei bechinas mayim. The tikkun is through water. Shehu bechinas ma. Water was the third one of the four elements. Eish ruach mayim. Mayim is number three, which corresponds to the name ma of Hashem. Of sog ma. Ma was number three. Ki shoyrish eish ruach mayim ofor heim bechinas of sog ma bon. Because the spiritual source from which Eish ruach mayim ofor draw from is of sog mobon. They line up exactly. Each one corresponds to the other one. Eish corresponds to of, ruach corresponds to sog. These are things that are explained in the Sifrei Kabbalah, how these things line up. So therefore, nimtza she ofor bechinas bon. So therefore, ofor corresponds to bon, she shom hoyo hashvira, which the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that's where the main breakage was. That's where the main disaster was. Umayim, whereas water is bechinas ma, water corresponds to the name of Hashem above ban, which we said was ma, shemishom hatikun, which is where the tikun came about. We said the tikun came through a light that Hashem shined into ma, a new light. Shemishom hatikun. V'alkein, for this reason you'll note that in Judaism, mayim metaharin mikol hatumos, water purifies from all different types of impurity, right? A mikveh, or washing your hands before bread. Ve'yefshir lichnois l'shum kedusha, kiyim al yedei taharo utvila b'mayim. And it's impossible to enter into any holiness without first purifying and dipping in water. The second a person opens their eyes in the morning, first thing they do is wash negavasa, wash netilat yadayim, wash your hands. That's the first step towards purity. Then, if the person is zoicha, they go to the mikveh. You know, that's another level of purification. Or lahavdil, on a physical level, they shower, they bathe. Kemoy hakoyhanim bavoidosam, just like the kohanim, when they, in order to do their avoida, they had to first wash their hands and feet by the kior, or they had to dip in the mikveh certain times. V'taharas ishalabalo, or a woman who purifies herself for her husband. V'taharas klal Yisrael kishenichnasu lebris b'matan Torah, or the purification of the entire Jewish nation when they entered into commitment with Hashem for the Torah. They first had to dip. V'taharas hager kishenichnas ladas Yisrael, or the purification of a convert when they want to enter into the holiness of the Jewish people. Shekulam toharosam b'mayim. All of these, their purification is through water. Why? Ki mayim heme bechinas oyer ma, shehu bechinas hatikun, shemisham ikra taro. Because as we just showed above, mayim, which is number three on the list of the yesoides, eish ruach mayim ofor, lines up with ma, of sog ma, which is that name of Hashem from which the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, that's the name of Hashem that was used for the tikun. For the tikkun of the shvira sakelim, of all the damage and destruction that took place. Avol, however, machmas shemalchus horisho hisgaber keneged malchus dikdusha, because of the fact that the malchus of evil is always trying to overcome and to destroy and to the malchus of kedusha, afal pi shebor cholatoy chamayim, even though the princess ran into the water. You would think she ran into the water, so she's safe. Because water is this orma, water is the tikkun. Even when you run into the water, still the Malchus HaRishos came after her. Ki zorak achareho kol asora mine chitzim. He shot all 10 types of arrows at her. Ki gam la'acharat tikkun adayin loinestakein b'shleimus. Because the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that even after Hashem did the first round of tikkun, and he shone that light into Or Mo'achodosh, not everything was fixed. It was a major repair, but not everything was fixed. V'nisharu reish peiches nitzutzes ben aklipos. 288 sparks of Kedusha remained in the hands of the Sitrachra, among the klipos. We mentioned in the previous year, 288 is chesed plus gvura. It's also toiv plus ra. That still remained in the hands of the klipos. Umishom kol hisgabrus haklipos. And that's where the klipot draw their energy from and their power. Umishom nimshochin hu asora minei chitzim. And that's where these 10 arrows come from. Shehem bechinas eser kisrin misavusa, which correspond to the 10 crowns of tumah, like we said, like the 10 spheros of tumah. Shekulam nimshachim misigim hanal. All of them come from those broken pieces, those shards. Like when a glass shatters and you have the broken shards of glass, that's where they come from. Shemizgabrin gam achar hascholas hatikun al yedei hanitzutzos shenisharu beinem. These forces of the Sitrachra were able to rise up again. Even after Hashem started the tikkun process, how were they able to rise up? Because they still had sparks of Kedusha in their possession. They still had those 288 sparks by them. Umachmazeh hamayim alulim lekabel tumah. And it's for this reason why water is susceptible to tumah. We say that when a fruit or anything, when it gets water on it, that's when it's mukhshar lekabel tumah. It's vulnerable to receive tumah on it. Ki hatumah krucha biyoyser achramayim. Because the tumah tries to go after the water. Ki kishamas chleize tikkun, meaning that when a person starts any process of tikkun, kol zman shalei nigmar bishlemus, so long as the person hasn't completed it, the Satan fights even harder. When it sees that a person's trying to get away from him, the Satan goes after him even more. Like two people who are fighting each other, when A sees that B is winning, then he tries even harder. So that's how the Sitrachra works. When the tikkun process is started, but it hasn't been finished yet, the Sitrachra gets all upset and starts going after him even stronger.